The chapter on Likutei Moran that we're going to be doing tonight is Torah Samaches. And we said as a short introduction, we're going to discuss the circumstances around the time that Rabbeinu Zal gave this shir. We're quoting from the Chayim Aran, which discusses the life and times of Rabbeinu Zal. The section that's called Sichos HaShayochim LaHatoros, discussions that are related to chapters in Likutei Moran, paragraph Mem Vov. Just listen outside. The part that we're going to be reading now is not in the sefer that you have in front of you. It's in a different sefer. It'll take 3 to 5 minutes. Rav Nosson Zal writes, "Kodem shegila inyan hanitfas belikutei tanina simen samaches." Right before Rabbeinu Zal revealed the discussion that's presented in chapter 68 in Likutei Moran, "Me inyan hatzadik shetzorech sheyashir bonim v'talmidim," regarding the fact that a tzadik is required to leave behind children and students, v'hu shayech lahatoyro kimarachme minahagim, and this discussion is also very much connected with an earlier chapter, chapter 7 in Likutei Moran Tanina, which is connected to this. Oz diber, Rabbeinu Zal was then saying, shehoyu kamo gedolim, that there were many tzadikim, shekol echod oso v'tikein mashatikein. Each one of these tzaddikim accomplished, they did what they did. They accomplished something major in their lives. The achar kach nifsak. And after this tzaddik passed away, what he did pretty much came to an end. Because there wasn't anything substantial that remained behind, active, live, after the tzaddik passed away. The kavanosai, Rabbeinu Zal was referring to, Le'inyan ha'he'oro she'he'iru da'atom b'talmideihem, regarding the fact that these tzaddikim shine their light, their wisdom, into their students, v'kirvu kamo anoshim la'Hashem yisborach, and they succeeded in bringing many people close to Hashem, aval achar kach nifsak he'erosam, but afterwards, after these tzaddikim left the world, their he'oro, their light, pretty much came to an end. It wasn't active, it wasn't flowing. In other words, the flow of light and the flow of activity and everything that they started in the world, when the tzaddik left, it came to a halt. Aval onu tzrichim la'aseis dovor shelo yufsak lo'olam. But Rabbeinu Zal said to his students, you and I, have to establish something that will never end, that will not come to a halt at all. She'elu anoshim yasu anoshim acherim, that these people that were involved in helping now to come close to Hashem, that they will help other people, v'hem yasu oid anoshim, it'll be a chain that'll continue and that won't stop. V'chein la'olam, so too, forever. We're going to establish a chasidus, a culture, a group that's going to remain active forever. V'chein shamati kvar, and I also heard previously, Rav Nosson Zal writes, Shehamekurovim shelonu behechrich sheyoiru b'chavereihem v'talmideihem. Anybody that becomes attached to Rabbeinu Zal, to the Breslov Rabbi, is obligated to shine his light, his knowledge, that understanding that's given over to him, to shine it onto his friends and his students. V'chol echod muchroch sheyase eze pa'ula. Each and every single one of us is obligated to do something. V'yoir b'chaveroi, and to shine into his friend. V'chaveroi b'chaveroi, and that friend has to pass it on to other people. Meaning, Rabbeinu Zal didn't want the buck to stop anywhere. Rabbeinu Zal didn't want to feed anybody, and that person will eat a meal, sit down and eat and be full, and that's where it's going to end, finish. Rabbeinu Zal wanted that anybody that's going to taste from his wisdom, from his light, should know that he is under obligation to pass that on to others, to share it with other people, to see to it that somebody else should benefit, and in this way to perpetuate, to continue Rabbeinu Zal's teachings throughout the world, throughout the generations. Kiyesh anofim lohoilon, because the tree has branches. Umeelu hoanofim yoitzin oidanofim, and from these branches there come forth other branches. V'chein lahalon yoiser v'yoiser. In other words, this is the analogy, this is the mushal that Rabbeinu Zal gave. A tzaddik is compared to a tree. Ki ho'odom eitz hasoda. The pasuk says in Chumash, man is considered like a powerful tree. A tree, the tzaddik, is compared to the trunk of the tree. The large branches that come from the trunk are his closest students. Those branches have to branch out and form smaller branches, still smaller branches, leaves, fruit, and the fruit, some of the fruit fall away. There's other fruit that comes afterwards. It's a living item that's constantly growing. Ukvar nirsham b'mokam acher, ma she'omar, it's already documented in another place in Rabbeinu Zal's teachings, ma she'omar, this that Rabbeinu Zal said, she'ho'esh sheli tukad li'oilam lo'y sichbe. V'omar b'loshin yiddish b'zeh loshin, Rabbeinu Zal said in the Yiddish words, this expression, mein fire'ol v'tshoin tluin biz Moshiach v'tkomen. Rabbeinu Zal said, my light is going to keep flickering until Moshiach comes. You're going to see that even though I'm going to pass away, you're going to see my students are going to keep active. The whole culture, the whole philosophy, the whole teaching that I presented to the world, it's going to be alive and vibrant and active until Moshiach's coming. Period. Rav Nosson Zal writes now, v'hascholas hasichanal me'inyan ben v'talmid, the beginning of this discussion about children and students, Hischil began al yedei shenichnas michedroi lecheder asheni. Rabbeinu Zal was walking from his room into another room, shesamech lebeisei agodo, which was close to his large room, v'omad etzla pesach, and he was standing in the doorway, sheyotza misha michedroi, the doorway leading out of his own room, u'motza oisanu oimdim lefonov, and he saw us standing there. Rabbeinu Zal writes, who's the us? Hainu Oisi, myself, v'chaveri, my closest friend, Rab Naftali Zal, v'chosnoi Rab Yuska, Olav Hashom, and Rabbeinu Zal's son-in-law, whose name was Rab Yossel. They called him Rab Yuska. V'hischil edaber im chosnoi, Rabbeinu Zal began talking to his son-in-law, v'omar lo, he said to him, shomati shilamadeto hayom, I heard that you were learning today. Now his son-in-law was somebody that went to work, and he studied also. So Rabbeinu Zal said, I heard that you were learning today. Well, v'hischil lo hechichoi bi'ahavo sheyachzik b'limudoi. And Rabbeinu Zal began reprimanding him with love, stressing to him how much he wanted him to learn. V'omar lo, and he said to him, haloi toiv v'yofe kishaloimdem t'chila v'acharkach chilchem l'shuk l'schur. It's a very, very good, precious thing. Even those people that have to go to work, if before they go to work, they sit down to learn a little bit, and then they go out to the market to work, to do business. V'acharkach onov yomar, and then Rabbeinu Zal spoke up and said, haloi gam onoichi loimed, I also learn. I'm the rabbi, I'm the one who has taught you so many spectacular things. You think a person comes to a certain point where he's not learning anymore. Rabbeinu Zal said, I also learn. V'halimud sheli hu chiddush. And my learning is something unusual, very unusual. V'hischil l'hispoeres atzmai. Rabbeinu Zal began to praise himself. V'ono v'omar, and he spoke up and said, ani yochel lilmoid. I really know how to learn. Ani yochel laharois lelamdon godol shebigdoilim. I am capable of showing the most learned individual she'adayin eino yochel lilmoid klal, that he doesn't know how to learn at all whatsoever, that he knows nothing at all, ve'eino yodea klal, he literally knows nothing. Because if I show him a little bit of what I understand compared to me, he's going to realize that he hasn't begun to learn. He's got a very, very long way to go before he can consider himself really learned. V'chein lehepech, and so to the opposite, ani yochel laharis lahaktanim, I can take the smallest person, the person who's on the lowest level in Torah knowledge, shekroivim l'Hashem Yisborach l'HaTorah, I can take the person who's the lowest and show him how he's really close to Hashem and really close to the Torah. V'nichnas misicha zu l'tech sichanal, and this discussion led to this chapter in Likutei Moran that we're going to be learning tonight. V'gilo kol ho'inyan hanemar sham, and Rabbeinu Zal discuss the whole subject that we're going to learn about tonight. Me'inyan ben v'talmid, about the concept of a son and a student. Ma shedorei malo sho'elim daiko ayi mekoyim kevoidoi, ul hepech dorei mato imre meloichor etz kevoidoi, discussing how in heaven There are two statements that are made about Hashem. The angels say, "Aye mekoyim kevoidoi," where is the glory of Hashem? Where is the greatness of Hashem? And there's another concept of "Meloi chol horetz kevoidoi," that even on this lowly physical world that we live in, we say that the kavod of Hashem fills the entire world. There isn't a single place on this earth, even a place of idol worship, that doesn't have the kavod of Hashem inside of it. V'ayin sham, study that chapter, v'chovein heitev, and understand very, very well what's going to be said there. Rav Nosson Zal comments on this chapter in Likutei Moran, Ashrei hashov v'harega shezochinu l'shmoy azois mipiv hakodesh bi'atzmoy. Blessed is the hour and the second that we were privileged to hear this shir that we're going to discuss tonight. Il mole lo yasino la'almo elo l'shmoy ado dayenu. If I were not born into this world just to be present at this shir, to listen to this chapter on Likutei Moran, it was worth being born and growing up as a kid and going through school and all the pain and torture of living in this world just to hear this one shir from Rabbeinu Zal. V'chein al kol dibur v'dibur sheshamati mipiv hakodesh. And so too, these are my feelings about any Torah that I heard from Rabbeinu Zal's mouth, that it was worth being born just to hear that item of Torah. Bamo akadem Hashem. What words could I possibly use to thank Hashem? Ke'al kol asher gomalonu, for everything, for the wonderful good that Hashem did for us. Mo oshiv l'Hashem kol tagmoloi. There's no words that I can possibly use to describe the gratitude, the thankfulness that I feel to Hashem, that I was privileged to be a student of Rabbeinu Zal's and to hear these words of Torah. This is what he's writing about the shir that we're going to be learning about tonight. Now, Rabbeinu Zal says, Torah Samach Ches and Likutei Moran Tanina. In our Likutei Morans, it's page 73, the right-hand column, all the way towards the bottom of the page. In the other ones, the smaller ones or the other ones, it's page Lamed Beis. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ikur Shlemus HaTzadik. When we talk about a tzadik being complete, the main item that determines how complete a tzaddik is sheyuchal lihiyos lamalo ulamato. The way that we calculate how sholem a tzaddik is, how complete he is, how much he's 100%, is if he's capable of being above and below. Meaning, sheyihye yochoy laharos lemi shehu lamalo. That a tzaddik should be capable of showing somebody that's on a very high level, v'nidme bedatoi shehu b'madreig elyona, and this person who's on a very high level, it would appear to him as if he's on the highest, he's as high up as he could possibly be, yihye maraloi shehu hahepech. The function of a tzaddik is to be able to show this person that it's just the opposite. You think you're on a high level? I'm going to show you, I'm going to teach you about Hashem in such a way that you're going to come to realize that where you thought you know so much about Hashem, you haven't begun to know about Hashem compared to the revelations that I'm going to show you, this tzaddik. V'chein lehepech, and so too the opposite holds true. L'mi shehu l'mato ma'oid b'madrego atachtoino b'toycho oretz mamish. So too, regarding a person who's on a very low level, rock bottom, the person's literally in the ground, that's how low he is, yihye maraloi, the tzaddik has to be capable of showing this person, she'adarabah, that just the opposite. You feel like you're nothing, you're nobody, you're worthless, you're as far from Hashem as you could possibly be, just the opposite. Husomuch l'Hashem yisborach. You are actually very, very close to Hashem. V'ze hashleimus muchrach sheyihye l'hatzadik. This completion, this shleimus, a tzaddik must have. U'beloize, and without this, einoi tzaddik klal. He's not considered a tzaddik. Now, this is a very powerful statement, because this term tzaddik is used very often. People use this word very liberally, and Rabbeinu Zal here is making a statement, black on white, that I want you to know that unless a person possesses one specific ingredient, he cannot entertain using this title tzaddik. And the ingredient is, he must be in the middle. He can't be an extremist in any way. He can't be one who deals only with very learned people. And he's not capable of dealing with those people that are totally irreligious, very far from Hashem, etc., etc. At the same time, he also can't be limited only to the irreligious ones. Some people who can dedicate themselves and speak to people that are very far from Hashem, but sit them down in a room with people that are very learned, etc., they can't interact with them. They can't bring them close to Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal says that tzaddik is the one, just like Eretz Yisrael is the holiest country in the world. And where is it located? In the middle. Right in the middle. And the city of Yerushalayim is the holiest city in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Where is it located? In the middle. And the Beis HaMikdash is in the middle. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim is in the middle of that. We're always looking for that center, for that Nekudas HaMerkaz, not to the right, not to the left. A Talmud Chacham, a Tzaddik, has to be centered. He's got to be right in the middle so that his light is able to stream out on both sides, up and down, top and bottom, and he's able to accomplish, he's able to deal with and bring close to Hashem both those that are very, very advanced, very learned, and those that are very not, very much not advanced. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki tzorech laharois shehu shim lemishu lamata ma'oi bedyuta tachtoina legamri, the tzaddik has to be able to show the one who's very low, mamish, way on bottom, she'adayin hu samuch laHashem mamish kavyochol, that he's really very, very close to Hashem, ula oiroi, and the tzaddik has to be able to inspire him, to wake him up, ula galois loyen, to reveal to him, Hashem imoch, that Hashem is with you, v'altiro v'altivchad v'altevchas, v'altechas, don't be afraid, don't worry, don't think that for you to become religious, for you to become a righteous person, it's such a long trip, it's like thousands of miles you're going to have to climb up. Baloney! You do the tiniest good deed, because you're on such a low level, the tiniest little move that you make in coming close to Hashem makes such a big splash in heaven. Hashem gets more nachas from that than another person who could sit and study Torah for 100 years sometimes. Because the person's so low, there is a mushal, an analogy that's given by Rabbeinu Zal. If we're familiar with the concept of a circle, you have a circle, and depending on how big the circle is, let's say you have the center of the circle, and from the center, you have lines going out to the end of the circle. Depending on how big the circle is, if I take a line that's starting out from the midpoint of the circle, and over here I move it a half an inch, sometimes if the circle is real, real big, on the outside, that move could be 10 inches. Because of the nature of a circle, that it comes to a head in the middle, the way it works, you have to see it possibly. In other words, if we're talking about on a watch or anything like that, you picture the handles of a clock. You picture a clock that's, let's say, 10 feet tall, and the handles starting out in the middle. If you would want to measure how much the clock, how much the handle is moving, looking close towards the center, it could be moving an inch, a half an inch. On the outside, that move represents a foot, 2 feet. Rabbeinu Zal says, picture Hashem kaviyochol being millions of miles up. And we are millions of miles away from Hashem. Depending on where we are, sometimes a person could be making what appears to him to be a small move. He moves an inch in becoming more religious, becoming close to Hashem. But because he's so far from Hashem, when this move, if we draw a line, we take a string and attach it from where he is to where Hashem is, this tiny move down here could represent a move of thousands of miles up there. depending on how far away a person is from Hashem, the further away you are, the more it's possible that the tiniest move could actually be much, much more. This is one of the examples that Rabbeinu Zal uses to show a person how you think you're far, you think your little mitzvah doesn't do much, your little mitzvah could be more precious than another person's 20 mitzvahs. Because Hashem is with you, the etzlecha, the korev lecha mamish. Hashem is right next to you. Because the kavod of Hashem, the honor of Hashem, and the greatness of Hashem fills the entire world. There is no person who could possibly say, I'm far from Hashem. What do you mean far from Hashem? Hashem is everywhere. What can you possibly do to distance yourself? You can't get away from, you couldn't get far from Hashem if you try. Wherever you are, Hashem is there. You just have to connect. You just have to turn to Hashem and acknowledge Hashem and start doing the right thing from wherever you are, and it's okay. You'll be okay. Al kein, therefore, afilu im ha'odom noifel chas v'shalom l'mokim shenoifel, even if a person falls, to whatever level he falls down, Rachmona Litzlon, v'hu b'shofol ha'madrega tachtoina mamish, and the person is way, way down, as low as he could possibly be, gam mishom yuchal adabek esatzmai b'Hashem. Even down there, he can attach himself to Hashem, v'lo shevei lo b'sporach, and to return to Hashem. Ki maloi choloretz kevoidoi, because the kevoid of Hashem fills the entire world. Ukvar di barnu misan, we've already spoken about this, Rabbeinu Zal said, shekishahotom munach lemato legamri, that when a person finds himself way, way down, veroye shehu bidyuto hatachtoina chas v'shalom, and he sees himself as being on the lowest step of the ladder, rochoik ma'oid mi Hashem yisporach, very, very far from Hashem, roy loy lahach yisatzmoi bozeh ba'atzmoi. The person has to be able to make himself feel good about that itself, meaning, Hainu kizehu bi'atzmoi hu ha'hiskarvus. That in itself is a concept of being close to Hashem, meaning, Me'achar shehu roye shehu rochoik. The fact that he realizes how far he is, that alone shows a certain degree of closeness. Why? Kimikoidem, because before he realized it, in the beginning, Hoyomaruchok kolkach, he was so far from Hashem, atshloyehoye yidea klal shehu rochoik, that he wasn't even thinking about the fact that he was far from Hashem. Even that didn't occur to him, bother him, because he was so far from Hashem that he forgot Hashem completely. But now, when such a person takes a look at himself and says, wow, I'm so far from religion, I'm so far from Hashem, that statement itself, that realization itself, shows that he's back in the ring. That he's not, now it's not all lost. Before he realized how far he was, then the guy was in trouble. You get a person, let's say, chas v'shalom, who finds himself in a place where it's totally dark. There's no light at all whatsoever. And this person finds himself in this cave where it's totally dark for a day, a week, a month, a year, 10 years. And he gets used to walking around in the dark, totally in the dark, feeling his way around. He forgets how to use his eyes, let's say. Such a person, somebody mentions to him something about seeing, and he's forgotten completely that there is such a thing. There is such a thing as light, as being able to see. He's gotten so used to walking around with his hands touching the walls, he forgot completely that there's another way of getting around, using your eyes. You don't have to touch walls or anything like that, period. Whereas, if a person reminds himself that hey, I realize that this is not normal. The place I'm in now is not a normal place. This is abnormal. The majority of the world is lit up. You can see what you're doing and everything. It's just that right now I happen to be in this cave, so I have to go around this way. But I hope that if I'm going to try my best, I'm going to do what I need to get to a place where there is light, of course I'll be using my eyes again. That already is a step in the right direction. That means he's getting somewhere. And with that thought alone, that should make the person feel good that at least he knows that he's far. At least he realizes that he's far. Whereas there are other people walking around who are not from, not religious, nothing to do with Hashem, nothing to do with Torah and mitzvahs, and they don't even know that they're far from Hashem. They're not even think that thought doesn't enter their mind. So the fact that we have a person where this thought does enter his mind, the thought that I'm far from Hashem, that alone makes him on a higher level and closer than the one who's not thinking about it at all. And that alone should make him feel good. That's a starting point. That's a beginning. Now you feel good about yourself that you're not the worst. You're not the lowest. There's somebody lower than you. Now start and you'll be okay. Start going one step at a time. You'll see you'll get somewhere. That's one limud. V'chein lehepach, and so too in the opposite direction. L'mishahu l'mala ma'oi, to a person who's on a very, very high level, very knowledgeable in Torah, a big, big tzaddik. Tzorich ha-tzaddik l'haroi sloi shehu rochoik l'gamri ma'ashem isforach. If a tzaddik is to help this person, how do you help this person? By giving him a pat on the back and saying, wow, you're such a big tzaddik, you're so good and everything. Then he's not going to advance at all. He's not going to grow. He's not going to come closer to Hashem. And we know that Hashem is infinite. There's no end to Hashem. So there's no way you could say that I've gotten as far as I could go in coming close to Hashem. Baloney, there's no such thing. So if a person, if a tzaddik reaches a very high level, the tzaddik has to be able to show him that he's very, very far from Hashem. Machomis mayodas, as there's a pasuk in the Torah which says, what do you see? What do you know? Vizehu shleimus hatzadik. This is called a complete tzaddik, a tzaddik who has shleimus. Bebechinas ki choil bashamayim uvaoretz, as the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, that David HaMelech in one place discusses the attributes of Hashem, and he says, L'cho Hashem ha-gidulo, v'ha-gvuro, v'ha-tiferetz, v'ha-netzach, v'ha-hoid, ki choil ba-shamayim v'oretz. And as we mentioned this morning, the words ki choil are bigimatria yesoid, foundation. That's the nickname given to the tzaddik throughout the Sifrei Kabbalah, throughout the Torah. There's a pasuk in Navi, in fact, V'tzadik yisoid oilam. The tzadik is the foundation of the world. Ki choil, this one who is the tzadik, who is yisoid, bashomayim uva'oretz. He must be in heaven and on earth at the same time, on top and on bottom. He must be able to deal with those that are very high up and very low down. Ki yadua shu b'chinas ha-tzadik, this ki choyel b'shmayim v'oretz is the nickname of the tzadik, the ochid b'shmayim v'ara, that he holds on to and he unites, he makes one out of heaven and earth. He is oiches b'shamayim v'oretz. He grabs onto heaven and earth at the same time. He's in the middle, holding on to both, and he unites them. He brings them together. Dahainu kanal. This is as we said before. Sheyihye lemala ulamato. That this tzaddik should be above and below. Sheyihye mara lemishehu lemala. He should be able to show the one who's very high up. Bebechinas shamayim. A person who's heavenly. Shehu lehepech. The tzaddik has to be able to show him. You think you're heavenly. You think you're great. You think you've gone as far as you can go. Just the opposite. Shehu rochoik ma'oid. You're still very, very far from Hashem. Ve'enu yodea klal b'yidiyosu yisporach. And you haven't begun to understand Hashem. B'chinois, as the pasuk says, ma chomis, ma yodas. That the angels say to each other, what do you see? What do you know? Because there is a concept that when we're talking about Hashem, nobody knows anything. Nobody's smart. Nobody's great. Compared to Hashem who's infinite, even if you've studied a lot and you've learned a lot, there's no way you can feel like you're, oh, now I'm already a bit very high level, I'm close to Hashem. Because there's billions of miles to go. Kishom lemala bashamayim, there, up in heaven, shom daiko shoyalem aye mekoyim kavoidoi. We know that the Gemara tells us that what do the angels say in their prayer to Hashem? They say, aye mekoyim kavoidoi. Where is the honor of Hashem? As if to say, hey, we don't see anything. We're up here in heaven, in Shemayim, we're so close to Hashem, and we see nothing. Because they're on that level, that super high level, the teaching that has to be taught to them is, you know nothing. You're zero, you haven't begun yet. So that they should continue to climb higher and higher. Ula hefech, and the opposite is also true. Lemi shehu lamato ba'oretz mamish, to one who's way, way down on bottom, in the ground itself, that low, yemar eloi ki Hashem imoi. The tzaddik has to be able to show him that Hashem is with you. Don't think you're far from Hashem. Everybody is close to Hashem. Ki meloi kol ha'oretz kevoidoi. Because there's another sentence in the Torah that tells us that the honor of Hashem, the light of Hashem, is everywhere. Nobody could say, I've gone so far down that I'm far from Hashem. Baloney. Hashem is everywhere. There's no way you could be far from something that's everywhere. Vizehu ikar hashlemus. And this is the main shlemus of a tzaddik. When we talk about a tzaddik being great, being complete, this is how we define his shlemus. Lihiyos lamala ulamata, to be both above and below. Now we know that there is a reference to this in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Dovra Melech, in the Sefer Tehillim, one of the tefillos that he said to Hashem was, Agura ba'aholcha oilamim. Hashem, allow me to live in your tent in worlds. The Gemara says, what's oilamim, worlds? Allow me to live in your tent in this world. What do you mean by worlds? It meant two worlds, above and below. Allow me to be associated with those that are very high and very great, and at the same time to be associated with those that are very far down, very low. This is the concept of the duty, the obligation that every Jew has to leave behind children and students in the world. That even when he passes away, his memory should not be erased. There should be children left behind and Talmidim left behind who benefited from him and who perpetuate what he did, who continue the Avodas Hashem that this person started. Because Rabbein Zal says, it seems very strange. We got a difficult question here. We know that in religion, one of the main things that discussed is that a person has to break his physical. He has to break the gashmias, the physical desires. I want food, I want... He's got to break away from all of those things and try to make himself heavenly, close to Hashem. I don't want cream cake. I don't want this. I don't want a lot of sleep. I don't want the physical things. I want to be a special person. I want to be close to Hashem. I want to be an outstanding person in character and everything that's good. Vim Kane, if that's the case, if the case is that a person has to look to get away from the physical, lomo hu chiyuv kishodom nistalik legamri lamala, why is it an obligation for a yid that when a person passes away, person dies, and his neshama goes way, way up, dahainu achar ha-histalkos, after he passes away, shioniach achrov bonim bozeh ho'ilam agashmi, that he's obligated to leave behind children in this physical world, sheyimlu mekaymoi bozeh ho'ilam, that they should take his place in this world. Why? What for? Haloi adarab, it would seem just the opposite. Toiv lehistalik legamri lamala, that's a big accomplishment when a person dies and he rises way, way up and he has nothing at all to do with this world anymore. He's finished with this baby world, with this yo-yo place, this place of nonsense, of eating and sleeping and zhlubbing and all the nonsense that goes on in this world. It would seem that that's fantastic. That's a real high level. Rabbein Zal says, ach be'emes, but the truth is that ho'ikar hashlemus lihiyos lamala ulamato bashamayim voretz. The main success, the main completion in a person is to be in both places, above and below, in heaven and on earth. Because when a person is only in one of these two places, he's not really a complete person. It's only two together, that's called complete. Just as the Torah says in this last week's parsha, that for a person to be alone, single, not married, that's no good. Hashem wants two. Everything in this world must be two. The only thing that's one in this world is Hashem. And even by Hashem kaviyochel, there's a concept of Hashem and the Shekhinah. Kaviyochel, as if we could say, of male and female concept by Hashem, always showing a need for two. One alone is no good, must be two. To have Shalom, one of the names of Hashem is Shalom, peace. Can peace exist in one? Peace is only when you have two, and they're able to live together, coincide, mutual, that's when there's Shalom. And Shalom is the pinnacle of Kedusha, that's the peak of Kedusha, it requires at least two. So Rabbein Azal says, Va'al kein, and therefore, mechuyav ha'adam, a person is obligated, she'enishar mimenu she'eris boretz, to leave behind something in this world, ben, a child, oy talmid, or a student, kidei shegam kishayia lamala achar haistalkus, so that even when he rises way, way up, after he passes away, yihia lamato gam kein bozeh ha'ilam. At the same time, he should also have something of his alive in this world. This that there remains behind in this world, a child or a student that came from this parent or Rebbe. The Iker Hu HaMoyach. And Rabbein Azal says, what are we talking about here? The main thing that we're talking about here is the brain. Sheyihye nishar lamato mimoichoy. That some of your brain, some of your knowledge, some of your wisdom, some of your seichel, some of your advice should be left behind in this world. Because the brain is the neshama. The brain is the seat for the neshama. We say when we put on tefillin every morning, sheha neshama shebemoichi. The neshama, which is in my brain, and all my other senses should be devoted to Hashem. Rabbein Azal says, V'alkein tzorech lohoniach ben oy talmid. Therefore, a person must leave behind a child or a student. K'moy shedor shrazal, as the Gemara says in Baba Basra, Daf Kuftez Zayin, al posuk asher ein chalifus lomoy, v'lo yorei elikim over there. The pasuk says in Tehillim that this person, a person who does not leave behind something to replace him, tachtov, in his place, v'lo yorei elikim, and he doesn't have true fear of Hashem. The Gemara says over there, there's a debate between two rabbis, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Chad Omar ben, Reish Lakish says that a Jew must leave behind a child, V'chad Omar Talmud, and Rabbi Yochanan says every Jew must see to it to have a student. Ki ha-Talmud hu min moya chorav, because we know a student is certainly a product of the brain of his Rebbe. The term student means that the rabbi taught him something. He taught him some of his knowledge from his brain. So the student has received something from the brain of the rabbi. V'chein haben nimshach gamkein mimoyach ha'ov. And we know that a child also originates in the brain of the parent. Where does the tipa, that droplet from which a child is born, where does that droplet originate? The Torah tells us, from the brain. This is why when a husband and wife are married, when they're looking to bring children into the world, at that time it's very, very important for them to have only pure thoughts, only holy thoughts, at the time that the husband and wife are together. Why? Because at that point in time, if a child is to be born from that union, where does the child begin from? Where does that droplet begin from? It originates from the brain. So we see that both a student and a child both originate from the brain. They draw from the brain of the father or the Rebbe. Rabbein Azal says, for Rabbi Yochanan Sovar Talmud, why did Rabbi Yochanan say a student rather than a child? Ki lo yehoyu lo yibonim, because the Gemara tells a story, that there's a Rabbi Nissim Goyen in Brochus, which discusses the fact that Rabbi Yochanan had 10 children, and each and every one of his 10 children passed away. He was left without any children at all whatsoever. The Gemara says he used to carry around a little tiny, tiny bone from one of his children, from the last 10th child, so that if he would ever see somebody walking around sad, not happy, he would say to him, you're not happy? Look at this. This is a tiny bone from my 10th child that passed away. All 10 of his children passed away, and still he was religious, he was happy, he was thankful to Hashem for whatever Hashem did for him, etc., etc. Ki etzel ha-talmid ha-moyach mufshot migashmias. Because when we discuss a student, the student, the relationship that he has with his rabbi, which is in knowledge, in wisdom, that's something that's completely separate from gashmias, from the physical. Aval etzel ha-ben, whereas when it comes to a son, a child, Hamoyach melubosh bahatipa zarius. The brain of the child connects to the brain of the parent through this droplet from which the child was born from. Aval gam ze tzrichen, but both are necessary. You need the physical connection, the physical product, which is children, bringing physical children in the world, who come physically from the droplets that originates from the brain, and so too students who draw from the ruchnius of the Rebbe, from the wisdom in the brain. Rabbi Nezal says, in summarizing this, v'haklal, the rule is shetzorech sheyishur mimenu bonim v'talmidim, that each and every single yid has to see to it that there should be left behind from him children and students. V'hatalmidim yoiru yoiser letalmidim acherim, and these students have to pass on their light to other students, to new students. V'chein lahalon yoiser, to keep the chain going, to keep this wisdom going, passed along from generation to generation. Just as we say in Ashrei, Dor ledor yishabach masecha, one generation transmits to the next generation the greatness of Hashem. We say, Ledor vodor nagid godlecha ula neitzach nitzochem. There are many psukim that Rav Nosson Zalman Likutei Halacha is quotes throughout our prayers, throughout the Torah, stressing this concept of passing on from one generation to the next generation, both in terms of children and in terms of students, passing down the wisdom, the knowledge of Hashem, etc., etc. Shegam hatalmidim yifru v'yirbu, so that the students also should be productive, should give birth. V'yasu talmidim acherim, they should make new talmidim. V'talmidei talmidov yasu yoser talmidim, and the second generation students should produce a third generation of students. V'chein lahalon yoser v'yoser, and this should continue and continue. Why? Kidei sheyihye nishar moichoi gam lamato lo'ilam voed, so that the person who starts all of this off, even after he passes away and he's up in heaven, part of his brain is working in this world, is serving Hashem in this world. V'chein habonim tzrichim gam kein sheyishur zichram l'doirei doirei sponim upnei bonim, and so too as far as children, a yid is obligated to get married and have children, and those children are obligated to get married and have children, and again, to keep this chain going. Kizehu ikar hashleimus shel atzadik. This is the main shleimus of a tzaddik. Sheyihye lamalo ulamata, that he should be above and below. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, ki choel v'yisoy, the tzaddik is only bashamayim of oritz. It's only if he's hooked up in both places, in heaven and below on earth. Rav Nosson Zal adds, Ayin kol ze b'maymar vayhi miketz kimrachme minagim. If you look at chapter 68 in this section of Likutei Moran. If you go back to chapter 7 in this section of Likutei Moran, look over there, Ayin shom, ki shom mevuar ho'inyan heitev. That chapter is much, much longer than this one, and there, this whole item is discussed even in more detail, and much, much deeper, and much more beautiful, showing the significance of this whole item. Baruch Hashem. One thing, if we could add, it'll take about 10 minutes, there is one paragraph in Likutei Halachos about this that's just very beautiful to see how Rav Nosson Zal paraphrases Rabbi Nezal's words.
The Rebbe that taught the Talmud to go on, and doesn't he keep on getting the mitzvah because he taught that person who taught that person?
100%. Not only does he keep on getting the mitzvah, but he's considered alive. It's as if he was living in this world. The fact that some of his seichel is being used by somebody, like let's say us, we never met Rabbi Nezal, right? We never saw him, and yet we're learning from him. How are we learning from him? Because we're learning from people who learned from people who learned from people who learned from people that learned from him, right? We learned from a student who learned from Rabbi Zal, who learned from Rav Kohalei Zal, who learned from this one, who learned from him. That chain makes it considered as if the person is alive. When we're learning, when we're going about doing our mitzvahs, part of Rabbi Nezal's brain is functioning within us. It's active in us.
Well,
The answer is a person is obligated to do as much as he possibly can. The Torah tells us there are many examples in the Torah. There's a Rashi in Chumash, in Bamidbar, where Rashi HaKadosh says that Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu a mission. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to go out and count all the Yidden.
So
Moshe Rabbeinu said, count all the Yidden. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, what do you mean count? How am I supposed to count their children? I'm supposed to go into each and every single person's tent and see how many children they have in this? So a Basco came out and said, you do your part, and I'll do my part. Hashem said, you do your part, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll do my part. So the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu started going over to a tent, and he was about to walk in. Second before he was about to walk in, a voice from heaven came out and came forth and said, in this tent, there's this many people. And so on and so forth with all the other tents. Meaning, what do we learn from this? We see that Hashem wants the person to do his part. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bo B'Trunyon B'Riyosel. Hashem doesn't expect the impossible of a person. A person is not going to be blamed for what he couldn't do. A person's going to be blamed only for what he could do and he didn't. Through tefillah, through tzedakah, through Torah, through attaching himself to tzaddikim, seeking out their advice, their guidance, all of these things. Right, so is these angels who are way, way up there, supposedly much closer to Hashem than we are down here, they say these words, Aye Mekoyim Kavoidai, where is Hashem to be found? Meaning, every once in a while, Hashem shines a light at them that's way, way above their level, that they can't handle. And just like, let's say, a person who has good eyes, he can see everything he's looking outside. Person looks up at the sun, or a person walks into a room where a photographer is making taking video for a wedding, and he's got a lamp that's got 6,000 volts, and the person accidentally looks into it, he's blinded for a second. So too, these malachim, these angels, periodically, they try to look at Hashem, kavyocha, and they see that the light is way above them, it's way above what they're capable of handling. And when they get that feeling, when a person sees a light that's too bright for them, what happens? They see black. They see darkness, right? When a person sees darkness, it looks at him as if, person says, where's the light? It looks to him as if the light went out completely. This person, who's not just looking at regular light, but he's looking at a very bright light, if the light is brighter than what he's capable of taking, what happens is he sees black in front of his eyes, like. And that's when it looks to the person as if somebody shut off the lights, and yet it's just the opposite. It's because the light is so bright that it appears to be dark. So too with these malachim, the Torah tells us that there are times when they say, Aye Mekoyim Kevoida. When Hashem, who is their rabbi, gives them a show of light, a display of the wisdom of Hashem, the light of Hashem, that gives them a reminder that you think you're so high up here, zap! And suddenly they see that they're like nothing. It's as if they're in total blackness. They haven't begun to see any light yet. Understand? And that's the analogy that Rabbeinu Zal is using to tell us that in terms of people that are on different levels in religion, to a person who's very religious, very good, when a tzaddik deals with him, the tzaddik has to give him his oirus. The tzaddik has to pinch him. He's got to wake him up to get him to climb higher. How does he do that? Tzaddik has to be on a high enough level to be able to show this person, you think you know about Hashem? Watch this. And he shows the person, he gives the person a taste of his knowledge of Hashem, and suddenly the person realizes, wow, I can't believe it. Here I thought I knew so much. I come to this tzaddik, I see that I'm nothing. I see that I have to first start learning from the beginning just about. You know, I'm like a 2-year-old kid compared to this tzaddik. And so too with the ones that are on a very low level, and they're the ones who have to be reminded constantly, you feel like you're so far. No such thing as far. Everybody's close to Hashem. Hashem is everywhere. Just do on your level what you're capable of. Hashem isn't asking you to be a Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem wants you to be as good as you can. That's all Hashem wants. No, it's this type of attitude. That just like a tree, when you want it to grow, What do? You throw water at it. Throw water at it, it grows up, up, up. So to a person, the more they throw things at him, problems, this, that, the more he grows, the more it lifts him up. Let's see if we could just do this a little piece here, because this is precious. This is Rav Nosson Zal's paraphrasing of this chapter. Rav Nosson Zal says, he's talking about at the time that Rabbeinu Zal mentioned this discussion, V'loy Dai, this is, we're reading from Likutei Halachos, Yeredeya, Chelek Beis, Hilchas Nedorim, the Laws of Vows, Chapter 4, Daf Yud Amid Aleph, the right-hand column. Rav Nosson Zal writes, he's writing about the tzaddik here. V'loy dai shehu mekim me'ofor dal. Not only does the tzaddik lift up a poor person from the ground, from the dirt, me'ashpois yorim evyoin, he takes a pauper out of the garbage. Shemekim umerim hanemuchim vahayerudim ma'oid me'ofor me'ashpois mamish. He stands up and lifts up those that are very low, very fallen in their own minds. He lifts them out of the dirt, out of the garbage itself. Umekits, he wakes them up. Uma'oireroisam, and he arouses them, he inspires them. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, Hokitsu varanenu sheikh ne'ofor, wake up and sing. Those of you that are neighbors to the dirt, like those of you that are so far down you feel like you're laying in the ground itself, umechaya oisam, he brings them to life, umechazkom, and he strengthens them, shaloi yisyashu militzek lashem yisborach b'shem oifon, that they should never give up hope in screaming from calling out to Hashem, ad shemeshivam ladarki akdusha b'emes, till this tzaddik gets the person to do tshuva, to do real complete tshuva. Not only does he do that, af gam hu noisein bohem koyach kozer, the tzaddik shines a strength into this person, umeir bohem hadas amiti, and he shines into the person a true wisdom, atshiyesh lohem koyach loher hadas gam b'achirim, to the point where this person who was almost a corpse himself, not only does the tzaddik bring him back to life, but he shines a light into him that this person should be able to transmit, to pass on that light to another person. At shigam heim oiskim biyishuv hoylam, to the point where the students of the tzaddik are also active in making the world into a civilization. Lahamid bonim v'talmidim, to establish children and students. V'gam heim mekimim yerudim v'noiflam yofram yashbois, and they too lift up people that are fallen from the dust, from the dirt, and from garbage. Umeirim bohem hadas hakodesh, and they shine into them this holy knowledge. V'chein midor l'dor l'olam, this continues from generation to generation. Skipping a little paragraph, Rav Nosson Zal writes that Rabbeinu Zal said, shekol odom yochoy l'kayim zois, each and every single person is capable of doing this. Lahamid bonim v'talmidim, bringing children into the world and students. Ukemoy shepam echod omer Rabbeinu Zal la'eze ish poshut moid. Rav Nosson Zal writes, there was one time that Rabbeinu Zal was talking to a very simple person, very low person. Shegam hu yochoy l'oire bnei odom. Rabbeinu Zal said to him, even you are capable of arousing people, making people become more religious. Afilu hagdoyle mimenu ma'oid. Even people that are on a much greater level than you, you're in a position to inspire them, to arouse them. La'iram la'voides Hashem isporach be'emes, to awaken them to serve Hashem really well. Va'omar lo'i, and Rabbeinu Zal said to him, haloi eitz koton shekoirin shpendele, yochoi lahatlik eitz godo. You take a match. How big is a match? A little wooden match that's this big, and you can use a match, you could light a log or a tree, you could set fire to a tree that's thousands of times bigger than this little match. V'chein Omer Hazal, and this is actually a quote in the Gemara, Ma eitz koton madlik es hagodol, just as a little piece of wood can light a large, a much, much, much larger piece of wood, af talmidei chachamim kein, so too with talmidei chachamim. If a person learns by himself, he's not that effective. If two learn together, even if the one that you're learning with is smaller than you, a very low level, he's like a match, and you're like a tree. A match can light a tree. A match can also activate and bring fire into a tree. V'hakol b'koyach hatzadik hachochom huemes. Who's the strength behind all of this? Who's the source of all of this? The tzadik ho'emes. Shehu heir zeh hadas b'talmidov. He's the one who shines this light, this wisdom, this knowledge into his students. V'chula mekabli mimenu. And all of them receive from him. L'ho'ir yoyser midor l'dor. To transmit and pass along this light from generation to generation. This is sort of a short summary of how Rav Moshe Zal words this. And this is one of the yesodos in Rabbeinu Zal's teachings. This is one of the foundations in Rabbeinu Zal's teachings, that this is what he demanded from himself. This is how he defined a tzaddik, and this is how he defined those that are attached to a tzaddik. That a person has an obligation. Rabbeinu Zal said to his students, don't be eitzim yaveshim. Don't be like dried out pieces of wood that don't produce. Each one of you has to be eitz pri oise pri laminoi. Each one of you has to be a fruit-bearing tree. You have to produce. If you feel that you've benefited from this knowledge, this wisdom, it's forbidden for you to hold on to it. If you have to look around, find a friend who you think can benefit. Don't grab any yo-yo off the street and start talking to him, because you grab the wrong person who doesn't want to listen. Sometimes you could be doing a sin in that alone, because you're cheapening the words of Torah. But look around, and anybody who you see has a speck of good in him, where you think the person might listen, you say a good word, you offer him a little bit of wisdom of Torah, something like this, and you help him. That's how you're perpetuating, that's that which was passed on to you, you're passing it further and further so that it remains alive forever. Halavai, we should be zeicha to understand and to follow all the advice of Rabbeinu Zal, and that's zechus to get to see the coming of Moshiach, the rebuilding of the Beis Midrash, Amen.